When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, I'm Grongy Maguire, and this is Chantelle for Dooch and Pate.
Hello.
We bonded over our love of reminiscing about weird celebrity couples. The ones no one would believe happened if Google wasn't there to back it up.
We want you to join us as we remember when love was young, times were simpler, and we really thought that Angelina and Billy Bob Thornton were going to make it.
Every week, we're joined by a celebrity guest to discuss the showbiz romance they never got over. So take our hand and stroll down memory lane with us as we remember
the way they were.
Hi, Chantelle.
Hi, Grania. How are you?
I was at a friend's gig last night and I had two bottles of beer. And what do I have today?
A scorching, horrific, end-all days hangover.
Guilty as charged.
Oh no, Grania, I'm so sorry to hear that. What's the remedy?
Life. Just life, I think.
Just stay in and think about life all day long.
It's been an exciting showbiz week.
It has.
Kate Middleton's stunt double has been spotted shopping in a garden centre.
Do you think it's fake?
It doesn't look like her. I'm sorry, that girl looks like Maya Jama. That girl looks like
okay, first of all, she wishes
Maya
insult
Jama.
To Maya Jama.
No, not Kate Middleton. The person, she's got Maya Jama's like cheekbones. She is gorgeous. She's got different hair.
I beg to differ. I'm sorry, guys, but I've been saying this kind of from the start. I think the answer to all of the where is Kate is the really boring answer. She's recovering from abdominal surgery. That was her in the garden center. I think that was her in the car. I think it's all as boring and as dull as it looks. But I like the idea of it being fake, but I just don't think it is. I think it's dull and boring, and that was her in the garden center.
Well, speaking of princesses.
Speaking of.
Ariana Grande dropped, as the kids say, a new album this week.
She did drop a new album. Have you listened?
I have.
I did yesterday as well. I listened as well. What are your thoughts?
Oh, this is a bit like we're playing sort of chicken with each other because we genuinely don't know how each other feel.
We don't
I love it. I absolutely love it. I'm listening to it every single morning. Bop after bop after bop.
If you are a listener of the podcast, which obviously you are, you'll know that we did a whole episode on Ariana Grande and her ex, Dalton Gomez. And this album is very much half... Screw you, Dalton Gomez. You cheated on me. You were the liar. And sort of half, oh my God, this new guy, Ethan Slater, is so hot. I love him. And I have no issue with that. It's fine. I like the songs. I think it's only, for me, only two or three real bangers and the rest are kind of just fun mid-tempo songs. But I did like having it on in the background. So I'm a fan. I like it. However, I do have an issue with the title and the theme of the album, which is Eternal Sunshine, which is obviously a reference to Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, a film that I don't think Ariana Grande has finished because she has a song called Eternal Sunshine, clearly about her ex-husband Dalton, and she says, "You are my eternal sunshine," and she's referencing trying to erase him. But in that film, which is crucial to the film, is that at the end, they end up together again. The whole point of the film is that these two people belong together and are made for each other. And no matter what, they will always end up together. So I don't think she finished the movie. So she's had a complete misreading of this film and named her album after it. It's a real issue. How did no one stop her from doing this? So that's unfortunate.
She was halfway through and she was just like, guys, I've got a brilliant idea for a song.
Got a great idea, guys. And they're like, yes, Ariana, do it. And everyone just went, yes. And no one finished it. So for those of us who are, like, went to the cinema to see this film, I'm like, Ariana, I think you've misunderstood this, the whole point of the movie. Oh, so that's my only notes for her. Otherwise, fan, love it.
I love it. Great stuff. Love it. Well, Yes, Ariana's new single and album is amazing. And...
oh, here we go. Here comes a segue.
Speaking of pop princesses, we've got our live show April 3rd, Museum of Comedy, and we have the incredible Rachel Paris. So if you haven't bought tickets, just pause the podcast right now. Go on this thing called Google and treat yourself to some tickets.
Do it. Or just go to our link tree from any of our social media sites. The way they were, Instagram, Twitter, any of them, find our link tree and you will find a link to the tickets. Get them now! Get them now while they're still available.
And speaking of princesses, speaking of royalty, oh my God, we've got a whole dynasty. We've a whole dynasty, however you want to pronounce it on the show, because we have queens talking about queens. Mm-hmm. We have the, I've said it before, I'll say it again, the only reason to still have Twitter or Instagram or TikTok on your phone, it is the, you know, I would say greedily talented Suze Kempner.
It is a bit greedy, yeah.
She's kind of offensively good at too many things. And she's talking about somebody else who is also superlatively. Am I saying that right?
No, I've not, to the point that I don't even know what word you're trying to say. Superlative?
Incredibly talented. Superlative. I think it's... I thought it was super laptively.
You just threw letters in there that aren't even in the... she's hungover, guys. She's hungover. May I remind you?
Super laptively.
Just stop.
I've been pronouncing that word wrong my whole life. Anyway, she is aggressively talented.
There we go.
Talking about somebody else who is galactically talented.
God, also, this is awful.
It's Suze Kempner on Barbara Streisand.
Oh, that's and what Elliot you pronounce
Gold,
right.
And Elliot Gould.
That's what you pronounce right.
The way they were.
Hi, Suze.
Hello.
Hi, Suze. Thanks so much for being here. How are you?
Thank you. I'm very well, thank you. I've got a gin and tonic underway.
We're so excited to have you on the podcast for many reasons. Not only are you incredibly funny, you are like genuinely one of the most annoyingly talented people I know, because like one of the things you're good at would be enough. Like you're so unbelievably funny as like a comedian live performer. You are one of the few reasons to still have an X account, whatever it is, on Instagram.
Twix,
you justify having that on your phone. And then you also literally sing like an icon. So.
Oh, thank you. That's very kind. One day I'll monetize it.
And so we're very excited
turning
to have you
on. Earnings.
For all those reasons, because you're a very funny, thanks, funny girl, but also because you sang at my wedding.
I did. It was the greatest gig of my life, getting to sing at your actual wedding. It's always a bit of an honour to sing at someone's wedding. But for your wedding, it was, you know, heightened. That sort of adds
showbiz royalty.
That's it. Yeah. And I did kind of look around the room going, these people are all going to hear me sing cabaret at Gwen's wedding.
It was so amazing. Honestly, I was just saying, it was like the Mammy Maguire. That was the genuinely... I think she was like literally, I think she was thinking, finally, there was a point to me having this girl that led to this moment.
It's all led up to here. A woman I don't know singing along to backing tracks that she paid between 79 pence and £4.99 for.
Listen. So we're very excited to have you here. Do you consider yourself an old romantic?
I didn't. I thought I was a bit dead inside. And then I met a boy, and I was single for nearly 10 years and just went, love is for other people. And then I met a boy on the internet, and in the worst way, on Twitter as well. It wasn't even like a good way, like a dating site. But he changed everything.
Oh, how long has it been?
Nearly a year and a half. But he lives in Toronto, so it's great. Hardly see him.
Oh, fantastic. That's the key. That's the key, girls.
Yeah. The hard bit is traveling back and forth, see each other.
Yeah.
And we're spending too much money on it that we should be saving up to like get a flat together. But that's hard too, isn't it? Anyway, ha. He wants to move here, though, which is good, because I ain't never moving there.
Oh, yeah, good work. Nice to hear. I was happy to hear that. We're all happy to hear that.
Well, speaking of showbiz couples, I'm not giving too much away by saying we're going to be discussing quite a big one. And again, not giving too much, I won very, very close to my little heart. Just, you can't see this, but I basically did a PhD.
Oh my god. Oh my god. Awesome. Okay.
So this couple got together in the golden year of 1962. Swinging 60s, baby. We say goodbye to Marilyn Monroe. Hello to Spider-Man when he makes his first appearance in a comic. And Margot Fonteyn and Rudolph Nureyev dance together for the first time. And as for the couple, this is the one where your friend's dad has his heart mashed by an iconic funny girl.
Well, truth be told, I'm not going to lie to our lovely listeners, this was somewhat spoiled for me.
I'm so sorry.
Purely by accident. So I am aware of who the man in this is, because Darlene Suze was describing her boyfriend and couldn't help but tell us that he resembled the one and only Elliot Gould.
I did.
The minute I saw Grania's eyes light up at the mention of the girl, I also immediately knew in my heart who the girl 1,000,000,000% was. So I'd let Grania say her little clues and have her little fun, but I've known from the second Elliot Gould was mentioned and then Grania's heart burst out of her mouth, this was, of course, Elliot Gould and Barbara Streisand, obviously.
Yes.
Of course.
Okay, so before we go any further, I am going to require you all, okay, I'll start with Chantel and then we'll go with Suze, you need to pronounce Streisand for
me. Streisand.
Because a nice soft S. So Chantel.
This is also the first time in recording history that Grania's really into the correct pronunciation of names, by the way. Just saying, it's the one time she can. It's the one time it matters in her defense.
I Streisand. Like this, yeah. Streisand.
Streisand, thank you.
She's quite big on it as well.
Yeah.
It's in her book, yeah.
In her book. Suze, I've read it. I've listened to it 1.5 times. Once, just for the
really?
Like,
all
experience.
48 hours of it?
All 48 hours, baby. Took me 3 months.
I'm only an hour in, and I was advised by, do you know Christina Bianco? She said, my advice to you, Suze, is listen to it on 1.5 speed. She speaks so slowly.
That's what I've done. That's exactly what I worked that one out about 20 minutes in. I was like, I haven't, life's too short. I had to speed through it, but I haven't gotten anywhere near even, I'm not even a quarter of the way through.
Right.
But I like how, so by the way, just to our listeners, I should just check. Barbara Streisand, icon.
Streisand.
Elliot Gould, actor from the film MASH and Monica and Ross's dad in Friends.
Yes, yeah.
I like the immersive experience of it because the audiobook, she's quite drifty and she definitely is ad-libbing. So it genuinely feels like it's just like she's sending me voice notes.
It is.
48-hour voice note. I imagine.
Can I just say up front, by the way, I have a feeling I know that this is going to skew a bit Barbara heavy this episode. So just up front, for all those listeners who, like me, are massive Elliot Gould fans, I love Elliot Gould. Just want to make that clear because I feel like his name's going to get mentioned about 10% of this podcast. Grania has been waiting for someone to choose anyone that went out with Barbara. So have the floor, Grania.
because she must have been the big deal. In the world of show business, she's the bigger deal. So I wonder what their marriage was like.
Well, before we delve in, what is it about this couple that even after all this time, after all these memories, they still hold a special place in your heart? Why does this couple matter to you?
Oh, there's this amazing photo of them, which I've had saved on my computer for like, it's gone across like 4 computers. I've probably had it on there for 10 years, which is total couple goals, where she's sitting on his shoulder in a swimming pool and she's like half covering his face. Mm-hmm. And that is my exact energy in a relationship. So I saw this and I just, when I first saw this picture, I was like, it's the most romantic picture I've ever seen.
It's gorgeous. It's quite so special young. They're quite, in that picture, it's such a famous picture. First, because it's like so like 60s Hollywood. These pair were
really
new.
Is. They look great. They look great.
They do look gorgeous.
They look so hot.
But real as well.
Yep.
And then, of course, obviously, it's in the zeitgeist at the moment because the Barbie film, the picture of Barbie on top of Ken, they recreated that picture.
Yeah. And when I saw it, I went, oh, it can't be on purpose. And then I thought, yeah, of course it is. It's for us.
Okay, well, she may be Barbara, but he is also Elliot. He's nobody's just. He's nobody's just. But before we go in, Barbara has already written me a letter complaining, saying, oh, this is well and good, kids, but what about their star signs?
Indeed. So,
Barbara, April 24th, she's a Taurus queen.
Oh, fellow Taurus queen. We're hard to come by. Good to see.
Elliot, August 29th, Virgo. So,
classic Suze, Virgo, yeah.
So I'm going to go to you, Suze. What do you think, according to their astrological charts that govern us all, what chances do you think of this match ever had of working out? And can I get a percentage number from you?
That it must be a real fire and ice, those two. And my percentage I'm going to give them is, I'm going to give it 38% because of the photo.
Because of the photo. That makes sense.
Okay. Yeah, that was a steamy, sweaty little photo. Chantelle.
I think they're both Earth signs, but maybe they're not. Maybe Virgo's an air sign. I don't really know what any of this means, but I'm just going to say 55% based on my knowledge of
gotcha. Okay. I always just see John Virgo. If anyone says, I'm a Virgo, my brain immediately sees John Virgo.
Well, I can tell you, in according to their star signs, in general, Taurus, Barbara, is there to teach Virgo, Elliot, about love, tenderness, and sexuality.
Virgo, I can see that between them, definitely.
Virgo, Elliot, needs to be flexible enough to value their Taurus, Barbara, partner, and give them the intellectual view on things they might idealise. Their relationship could be a match made in heaven, only if they're not too scared of being hurt and too distrustful. If they do give in to each other and fall madly in love, they could be the combination of a clear heart. 73%.
Ooh. Wow. So it was in the stars above. They had a good shot, these crazy kids.
I see.
Well, Grania, lay it on us. What went wrong?
Well, okay. So we've got a lot to pack in. So I'll just do a quick montage of their emotional lives before they met each other. So we'll go to Elliot first. His father, a textiles buyer named Bernie, had tried to elope with another girl when he was 17. Their family stopped them and he married Elliot's mother. They stayed together for 27 years until they finally divorced, and Bernie was reunited with his first love and moved to Florida. Lucille, his mother, was an ambitious stage mother and ploughed all her energies into her son's future. She saved up to give him elocution lessons, and he was soon singing, tap dancing, and had a top, hat and tails routine in the Catskills.
Ah!
Of course he did. He screams Catskills.
Yeah.
Can we just like imagine little Elliot Gould in his little top, hat and tails? Hollywood.
100%. Easy. Yeah. In my mind, he was in the background in one of the scenes in Dirty Dancing. Like, he's there. He's in that world. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah, because he sings, doesn't he? So that makes sense.
He's a very, right. like, song and dance man, which makes sense why him and Babs would get along.
Absolutely.
Not to mention his height, because he is a tall drink of water.
Is he?
Yeah. Okay. Elliot Gould's up there. Yeah.
Oh, he's a big fella. Oh, he's a big boy. I'm now 20% more into it.
Oh, it's like
When I found out Pete Davidson was 6'2", I literally went from in under a second, I went from, what are all these women seeing him to? I get it.
Yeah, makes a big difference. 100%. We all know this. Yeah.
Well, speaking of big dick energy, let's meet Barbara Streisand. So whereas Elliot had a very pushy mother, poor Babs had the exact opposite, because her mother, by all accounts, a bit of a nightmare.
Right.
So her dad very sadly died when she was really, really young. Her mother was cold and jealous of Barbara. She married a guy called Lewis Kind, who is, I can't work it out, but is related to Richard Kind.
Okay. Really?
Well, right. I will only picture Richard Kind now.
Oh, but that makes me like him a lot. And Lewis Kind wasn't very kind in the end. So that makes me Richard Kind is.
Mm. Richard Kind, famously great friends with George Clooney. So Lewis Kind married Barbara's mother and was really mean to Barbara and like ignored her and wouldn't speak to her and was just really not a nice guy. She moved out quite young and she was very unlucky in love. So she was a real like hustler, like she wanted to get out of Brooklyn. She was going to be an actor. She was best friends with this gay guy and later on he claimed that her and Barbara had a romantic moment and Barbara is like she found it so hurtful because she's like it never happened and okay, so this is the thing, Barbara, if you're listening, can you please, for the love of God, you've got a 900 page book and no index. So I
remember, she deliberately did it, didn't she? Yeah, she said she didn't want people picking up the book and just looking for the juicy names.
Oh, can you blame her? But honestly, it would have helped. Come on, Babs. Yeah. I'm hoping that this will be one of those things where some super fan, maybe Grania herself, actually, this could be your project of 2024, will make an index for this book. You could actually make a pretty penny doing that, Grania. People would pay for it. I'm just saying.
I believe you. Put it on Patreon.
That's what I'm saying.
Why I needed an index was because when I listened to the audiobook, I swear she described she had like a summer romance with one of the Smothers brothers. And it stood in my head because I was like, imagine having an affair. They're like a comedy duo from like the 1950s. I was like, imagine having an affair with the Smothers brothers. And then I couldn't find it. So then I bought a physical copy of the book. So I was like, I didn't daydream it. And I tried to find it in the index and there's no bloody index. So you're going to just have to take my word for it. She had a fling with one of the Smothers brothers. And then this is again, her love life is a little bit murky because Kathy Griffin said in an interview that she was once backstage at a show and Warren Beatty and Barbara were there and she said she overheard the two of them arguing and Barbara said to Warren, I'm not going to fight with you about this again. We never hooked up. And she said, Beatty said, no, Barbara, I think we did. We are coming back from that little club in the Catskills.
I mean, in Warren Beatty's defense, he kind of got around a lot. So I can imagine him being like, didn't we? I kind of shagged everyone. How did you get away? So I don't blame him.
He mixed her up with some other chick.
Exactly. Neither of them are wrong. I'll say that.
I love this. I'm not going to fight with you about this again. We never banged. Stop it, Warren.
But she says her first time being intimate with a man was very underwhelming. She said there was a full moon out. Her first boyfriend offered her a cigarette, which turned out to have marijuana in it. She took a puff. She went weak in the knees. She thought it was him. Turns out it was just the marijuana. And then the next day he acted like nothing had happened and it broke her heart. But she said, I put it into my career. And her career is going very well because at the age of 19, she's landed a part in the Broadway production of I Can Get It For You Wholesale. And it's here where she meets Elliot. So this is how
old is Elliot here?
So he's 23, she's 19.
Oh, perfect. Love it. Okay, go on. This is great.
So just to bear in mind, Elliot has already been cast as the lead, the male lead in this musical. He has two love interests in it, like sort of like a showgirl and like a beautiful girlfriend. The part Barbara is auditioning for was originally written for like a woman in her 70s. She's supposed to be this old spinster who can't get a boyfriend. So just bear in mind, this is what I love about just the romance of it all. So he's the sexy lead who this show is going to make him a star. And this is her very first Broadway show and she's got two songs in it. So she's auditioning. Okay. She's auditioning. We've set the scene. Elliot describes this. So they auditioned her loads of times. After her last audition, they say, thank you. She then was very flummoxed as to being right there and still not knowing what was going to happen next. And so she announced her phone number and said, so would somebody call me? And I remembered her number and I called her.
Oh,
so then Barbara takes up the story.
It is smooth.
She said, that evening, my phone rang. I picked it up and a voice said, I was there today. My name's Elliot Gould, and I thought you were brilliant. And he hangs up.
Oh, wow. Elliot, okay.
He left her wanting more.
Yeah, exactly. Smooth move.
He left her wanting more. So then they meet at the very first rehearsal. Elliot's there. He's smoking a really thin cigar. He offers her one. She doesn't even smoke, but she takes one.
Good for you, Barbara.
And they become like best little buddies. Mm-hmm. So they become really good friends. Then after rehearsal, he starts walking her to the subway. He takes her to play. And I'm not making this up. Just let's lean into it. It's early 60s New York. After rehearsals, he takes her to play Pocorino and Fascination at Penny Arcades.
Oh, wow. Okay. Aww, that's fun.
This is nice. God, they were so young, weren't they? This is nuts. Like, imagine your first marriage being to the guy you were with when you were 19.
Right? I know.
I mean, he wasn't Elliot Gould, but yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Snapple. Welcome to the Snapple Market Auditory Experience. Close your eyes. Imagine you're walking into your neighborhood store. You make your way to the back and reach for your favorite Snapple flavor. You can't wait. You take a sip. Whoa, that's a lot of flavor. What flavor are you holding? Now open your eyes and check out Snapple.com to find ridiculously flavorful Snapple near you.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
So she says at first she doesn't really fancy him until one day in rehearsal, she sees the back of his neck. Mm. And suddenly she realizes for the first time, he's a man.
It's those things that'll do it. I hear you, Barbara. Yeah. I get it.
She says she suddenly wants to run her fingers through his thick, dark, brown, curly hair. And she says he reminds her of Humphrey Bogart.
I can see that. Okay, the long face. I get it. Yeah. I'll take Elliot over Humphrey, but still.
Yeah, same. I was like, I feel like he's a step up. It's like, because I said, oh, my boyfriend looks like Elliot Gould. He's still a major step down in every way. But Humphrey Bogart, I would say, would be below Elliot Gould in terms of...
I think it's just the curly hair. I just think men with curly... Like, my husband has the best head of hair in the whole world. It's
he does. Hair. Oh, that's we all know that, yeah.
But is your... Instagram boyfriend, who is real.
Yeah, Instagram boyfriend. Instagram boyfriend.
He has curly brown hair.
He does have curly brown. He's got lovely hair. But when we were first together, I touched his hair and he went. I've had most of my gin tonic. He won't like that I've said this, but he went, I'm always scared it's gonna just go away. It's all still there. Yeah,
enjoy it while you can. That's his way of saying enjoy it while you can.
Every time when Mel goes to get his hair cut, it's a big thing in the calendar, and he has to tell me about it a week beforehand. But I get so anxious. And one time he cut it too short and I just wouldn't speak to him. Like the whole day, I wouldn't speak to him.
In my mind though, it grew back like by that night. In my mind, Mel's hair just grows immediately.
He has to go.
Yeah, exactly.
Force it out like a poop, but it comes straight out of his scalp.
So Barbara and Elliot, they're flirting backstage. She was like a real beatnik, scrappy New York kid. So yep. She was telling him about the Dalai. She was telling him about the Dalai Lama, and the next day, she's in her dressing room and she finds a package of corned beef, pastrami, and pickles. From Elliot with a note that says, from the Dalai Lama.
Oh, I was going to say, we get it. You're Jewish.
I know. I was thinking, that's the most Jewish thing I've ever heard in my life.
Literally.
Suddenly it's Saturday lunchtime around my grandma's in 1996. I love it. I think this is wonderful. Like, because also... what he's done is a bit try hard, but in the most endearing way.
Oh, but it's cute as well. And it's kind of, it's kind of silly without making fun of her. It's fun. And it shows that he's paying attention.
Yes.
as well.
Yeah, they're pals as well as flirting. Yeah. P.S. I bet the rest of the cast were like, yeah, we get it.
Oh, well, oh my God, Suze, can you imagine being like the understudy with these two? Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I want to hear what the talk was backstage when these two weren't around.
Oh, and being 19 as well. And it's Barbara Streisand. She'd be like, what are you talking about? No, I don't fancy him. What are you talking about?
But she'd actually be, when you're 19, she'd just be every conversation. Well, actually, Elliot has a coat like that as well. You know, Elliot's been to that deli as well. You know, Elliot one time mentioned he liked milk. It would just be everything be about Elliot. I love
yes.
it.
Yeah.
So one night they go to see a Japanese horror film about a giant moth.
Mm-hmm.
They Mothra. Leave the cinema. They leave the cinema and it's snowing.
Of course.
They're walking around the skating rink at the Rockefeller Center.
Oh, shut up.
Oh, my God.
It's 2 a.m. It's 2 a.m. And they have a snow fight.
Oh my then, God! This wow. is made up. This is in a. This is in both of their movies. I swear to God.
God, me and my boyfriend just snogged at the Assembly bar. This sucks. It's at the Edinburgh Fringe.
Elliot calls a truce, and then he delicately washes her face with snow and kisses her.
Oh my Aww. Goodness. I'm already sad that they broke up.
Yeah, I know. It should have worked. I know she was 19 and he was 23, Honestly. But it should have worked out.
So, remember, they're in. I can get it for you wholesale. This is supposed to be Elliot's big break. However, the opening night reviews are all about Barbara.
Of course.
They're all
Those
about
pipes,
Barbara.
What do you want?
Yeah. And she has that amazing song, Miss Marmalstein. And it's the funniest song in the show. And I bet everyone was killing themselves laughing. She is funny, so she'd have then played up to it and the laughs would have got bigger. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, Elliot.
Yeah.
So Elliot tells Barbara later that on opening night, he watched her on stage and he told himself, I really have to give her support. Her career is more important than mine.
Oh, wow. A 1960s feminist. My God,
I know.
Who knew?
I hope this lasts.
So he's genuinely really, really happy for her success. And after the show goes up, they move into a tiny little apartment together. So Streisand writes about this in her book, My Passion for Design. Elliot is 6'3", and we slept in a single bed because that's all that we could fit into the room. However, around this time, she sees the film A Star is Born in the cinema and she's like, gets like this prediction. This is my fate. This is what will happen to me. I'm destined to be a superstar and men will always be threatened by my career.
And one of them will die. Okay, so she's ready.
So Barbara releases her first album. It wins a Grammy. Then her and Elliot are asked to star in a production of On the Town in London. Elliot wants to do it, but Barbara doesn't because her album has just won a Grammy. She wants to tour it. But Barbara is also like, I don't want to be separated from him. We've just started going out together. So they go for dinner together. And Elliot says to her, what's more important, me or your recording career?
Oh, yikes. That's a rough question.
Okay. Barbara says, you. Elliot says, that's sweet. Elliot says, that's sweet of you, but you're not going to London. You're staying here and you're doing your tour.
Of course. Yeah, he knows.
So Barbara says, he just wanted her to say, that I love you more than my career, but he didn't. He was never going to hold her to it.
Oh, my God, Elliot. I love
him. But he also, that's a sign of someone who he's like, no, but I also think she can do both. She could do me and her.
Yes.
Yeah.
So they exchange rings, but they're not married. So remember, this is early 60s. They've got rings. They're living together. They're not famous, but they're getting better known. And they're wearing wedding rings, but they're not actually married. So she goes to Las Vegas. She supports Liberace. And she's kind of meeting new people. He's in London doing On the Town. Then On the Town closes early, so he goes to join her in Las Vegas. And he can tell, like, things are changing for my girl. She's meeting lots of people. And he says to her, like, what's going on? Do you still want to be with me? And she was like, look, you're my first boyfriend. Like, I haven't had a chance to sow my wild oats. And she said specifically, what if I meet Marlon Brando?
Honestly, good question. Because she was in a position where that was becoming more and more of an actual likelihood. So I don't
blame her. Absolutely. And he still was borderline fantastic looking at this point. So,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
So when he says, when she says that to him, what if I meet Marlon Brando? She said, Elliot said, well, if I met Marlon Brando, I'd want to be with him too.
He knows. He knows.
Oh, God, I love him.
And she said, Barbara was, said, we laughed and that was it. We moved, you know. We're back together again.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And now they kind of secretly have an open relationship about Marlon Brando. So I like this. Well done, Barbara.
We're monogamous unless it's Marlon
Unless it's Marlon Brando, then we're both allowed to do whatever we want.
He's the whole pass.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think this is a good sort of time to maybe drop in with them because she's a really, you know, she's getting covered in the press, but she's not like super like monoculture famous, and Elliot, he's this sexy tussle haired dark eyed lanky drink of water. They've just they've moved into a new apartment overlooking Central Park, so it's 1963, Suze, and we've got and I've never been jealous of a guest before, but genuinely I'm filled with envy when I say to you, Suze, Elliot and Barbara are in town and they want to hang out with you. What do you imagine a night out with Babs and Elliot being?
Oh my goodness.
Talk us through it.
Well, I've been to New York a couple of times, so I figure what we'll do is we'll hit the Olive Garden and get, I imagine they do unlimited breadsticks and absolutely huge portions like in the whole of North America. We're going to eat until I get to the point where I go, I can't eat anymore. I'm going to be sick. I eat for 10 more minutes. Then I say, let's go to Ellen Stardust Diner. It's where all the singers who want to be on Broadway work as waiters and they sing. And Barbara goes, that sounds amazing. Let's go. And I go down there and I just brag to all of them. I'm actually with Barbara Streisand and Elliot Gould. P.S. They're both young, but it's 2008.
What do you think of them as a vibe? So, you know, Barbara,
yeah,
we know
mostly
she's...
I've said which places I'll go, but yes.
You've got the itinerary, you've got the Groupon deals, but now imagine, so Barbara, she's very focused.
Yes.
She's very clear. Elliot is really supportive of her. What do you think?
Yes.
You were like, what are their vibe like as a couple? Do you think they talk together a lot or?
So I think Elliot Gould is, I imagine he is quite a loose, fun guy. Mm-hmm. And I think he's probably quite interested in people. So he'd be like, that's interesting about if you reveal a quirk from your life. He's like, oh, that's interesting. Mm. But I also think she's like that. And I often see people describe Barbara Streisand as a diva who's very hard. But if I see her in interviews, there's always a vulnerability. And I think that that's what his like loose, open nature was probably very good for, because she could probably tell him, P.S. I'm insecure, that, and she wouldn't say that to anyone else. So I bet they had amazing, like they were very intuitive about how the other one was feeling.
Okay.
And I bet they're extremely funny to hang out with. They're both funny people. Barbara Streisand is hilarious.
Yeah, I imagine that as well. I imagine them asking you lots of questions and then back and forth. Oh my God, Elliot, so she's from England, this one. Talk to him more about me. Oh my God, Elliot was in London a few weeks ago. Weren't you, Elliot? Tell him where you were in London. And they have a whole conversation about that.
Perfect.
And talking to each other and to you.
I do what I usually do when I panic when out with new people, which is I just start going on about dressage. And so I'd probably tell him a lot about dressage.
Always works. They'd be interested.
They'd
like
be
you said,
it.
He'd be interested.
Yeah, because it's a different world. Yeah.
And Elliot, he's we'll get into it a little bit more, but he's a bit, he likes a drink and he likes a weed cigarette.
I was just going to say that I imagine a night out with them. I imagine a night out with them involves at some point a lot of
marijuana.
Weed smoking. Mm. Yeah, I was just going to say that he has a general weed vibe about him, and I can see it.
That's why he's very kind
of
open.
In a very kind of laid back, cool. You just go back to their like cool apartment somewhere in New York, and you just start passing it around. It'd be great.
Sure. I've never smoked any weed or done any drugs apart from codeine and alcohol. So I reckon I would go, if they passed it to me, I'd go, I'd smoke some. And then I'd probably be the sort of person who has to run to a window and puke down the side of a building.
They wouldn't mind.
They'd find Barbara it funny
doesn't
we'd all
smoke.
Laugh about it.
Barbara doesn't smoke, so she'd be, Elliot, open a window. Yeah. Oh, Elliot.
Open a window so that you can smoke out of it and Suze can puke out of it.
And then she'd feed you. I know she'd feed you. She'd be like, oh, yeah, you're not well. I've got some soup in the fridge.
Noodle cool.
Definitely. But,
the amazing Jewish dessert. Yeah, I'd have some of that.
Well, so 1963, things are going very well. However, there's more press that they're getting. Journalists are assuming that they're married.
Mm-hmm, which because of the rings.
Ain't. Mm-hmm. But they ain't married. So eventually, Barbara's like, okay, right, we're going to have to get married. Mm-hmm. But she feels like it's more like under pressure rather than a romantic decision. Sure. She's working in LA. They drive to Nevada. She's wearing a little seersucker suit. And nice. The justice of the peace who does the ceremony has a speech impediment. And they can't stop laughing all the way through. Then they drive back to Lake Tahoe where she's doing a show and have a fight that night.
Oh, because the pressure.
Always happens. Couple seem to... It's not that uncommon to have a massive fight on your wedding night. I'll just say that.
Really?
I hear about it a lot. It doesn't seem to have any inclination in terms of whether the marriage will last or not.
Sure.
It's a big day. It's a big day for a lot.
Because everyone's tired.
But it's
everyone's
a big tired. Day. Yeah. They had one guest.
It was a big day, Grania. He had a speech impediment. That journey to Tahoe ain't nothing.
So I love the description of their honeymoon. So they go on honeymoon to Big Sur, but Elliot is a terrible driver. Babs gets car sick. Then his plan was to take her to this really famous New Age hippie retreat mm-hmm. on Big Sur. But when they get there, Babs is like, what is this shithole? No, no, no. There's no room service.
Is that a mountain? Is Big Sur a mountain?
It's just an area in California. It's gorgeous.
Okay, right.
So it's a really famous, especially in the 60s. It was. Okay. It's where Don Draper goes in the last episode
with
Megan.
Sure.
So Barbara's like the hot springs. She's like, this smells disgusting. She says, I feel like I'm camping. What is this place? They go to their room, and guys, there's no television. And Barbara snaps. She's like, I'm not staying here. She insists that they get back in the car. He drives her to a motel and they eat cheeseburgers in front of the television.
I love this.
So they're already finding out that their differences might be maybe bigger than they realised.
Yeah.
They're immediately noticing this.
She's a real city girl, isn't she?
She's a city girl and he's a bit hippie. Maybe it's not for the... I think I see the cracks forming, Grania.
He's, you know, in a few years he's going to be hanging out with this guy called Charlie Manson.
Oh, yeah. No!
He's like, his songs are okay. He says that.
So Barbara has to go back to New York because she's about to star in a little musical, don't know if you've heard of it, called Funny Girl. Mm-hmm. It's basically a vehicle for her mm-hmm. that is all the songs and everything. It's written for her. And it's about Fanny Bryce and her troubled relationship with Nicky Arnstein. Now, playing the lead of Nicky Arnstein is Sidney Chaplin, son of mm-hmm. Charlie. So now.
Very handsome.
Sidney Chaplin. Yeah, he's handsome. He's sophisticated. He has his own valet. Barbara is like, who is this guy? Who she is a smitten kitten. And worse for us, and worse for Elliot, Sidney Chaplin develops almost immediately a huge crush on Barbara.
Yikes. Okay.
They were properly showmancing. Yeah.
It was like, he was like, I'm going to get you, girl. Mm. So he pursues Barbara and she's like, it was under all this pressure. They had all these rehearsals. They were out of town. And the relationship became intimate.
She cheated. Say it, Grania.
Damn
she
it,
cheated.
Man.
Your lovely icon, Barbara, was unfaithful
to
her husband.
She's very young.
Don't you say, if this was a boy, Grania, like, the bastard cheated. How could he? This is Barbara. Oh, she was young. It was a lot of pressure.
I know.
Are they a year, 2 years?
So basically, they're a year together. So they got married and then she went back for this.
Oh.
So. On opening night, Sydney gives Barbara Cartier emerald and diamond earrings.
Wow.
And it's not referenced in her book, so I don't know if this is real. But according to press from the time, Elliot went backstage and gave Barbara a piglet as the opening night best look present.
Okay. Right. I think
an actual piglet.
A little
is
piglet.
This so she could make her own pastrami. Oh, no, pastrami's beef.
Oh, God. And the other guy gave her Emerald. Oh, no. I'm Team Elliot so far. Screw this Chaplin guy. I don't like him.
So she realizes, she's like, I'm out of my depth. This is awful. I shouldn't have done this. So I've made everything too complicated. So she comes clean to Elliot.
Okay.
And
good.
Elliot is like, it's okay. I forgive you.
Oh, see, poor Elliot's ruining for me. I'm sorry. I'm Team Elliot for a long
time. This is very 60s.
It is very, yeah, it's very, very forgiving, 60s. Very understanding.
Yeah. So she, unfortunately, you know, who isn't very forgiving? Sydney Chaplin.
Of course.
Because she goes to him and she's like, this has to stop. I'm married. Okay. This is a mistake. Mm. So what he starts doing is avoiding eye contact with her on stage and whispering like insults in her ear.
Fuck
during
off.
Love scenes.
So Sydney just to gain what he wants. Classic Nepo baby.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like traumatizing for Barbara. And that's why she develops such extreme stage fright that keeps her off the stage for decades. It's because Sydney Chaplin was like torturing her on stage. So she starts getting sick in the interval. She goes to psychotherapy. And eventually, a year and a half in, she's like, I cannot take this anymore. I'm not going on in the second half unless you fire that man. Bear this in mind, this is like Funny Girl starring Barbara Streisand.
Who won a, they like made up a Tony for her for, I Can Get It For You Wholesale. They literally invented an award to give her, like she's Harry Hill at the Edinburgh Fringe getting Best Newcomer or Samuel L. Jackson when they made up an award for him in Cannes. Like only an icon gets an award made up for them and she was 19 years old. How dare he? Like this is her show. Ooh. Yeah.
This doesn't teach young girls not to cheat. I don't know what will. I'm just saying, if she'd never cheated, he never would have said the insults.
I feel
just
like he
saying.
Might have done. I think like all she had to do was turn him down. He'd have done a bit of it.
So she finally gets rid of him. But this is an interesting little side story. So while she's in Funny Girl on Broadway, she goes to a party where she meets... Sitting on the couch, who does she bump into?
Chris Christopherson. Who?
Marlon Brando.
Oh, Marlon Brando. Get out of jail free. Was Elliot Gould on his knees in front of him going, hi, honey. I got here first.
Yeah. I'm number one.
She says, oh, Marlon Brando, hello. He stands up, takes her into a room where the pair stay there by themselves and talk for 4 hours.
Oh, yeah,
oh
sure you did.
Oh, God. No, I can quite imagine that. If the Marlon Brando, just get him to just ask him about his method and the next six days will go by in the flash.
And and I bet if he'd seen her in Funny Girl, which he probably had like watched the show, he would probably want to talk about that because at this point he's banged every hot chick in New York. So he's like, yeah, we can do that anytime. But let me talk to you about how you created this role. And that'll be far more flattering than him going, hey, baby, how about it?
So apparently he said to her, I really want to make love to you now. And Barbara said, no, we're not. But you know what I'd love? How about if me and you just leave and go to a museum together?
Oh, my God.
All right, nerd.
So
come on,
man.
He was the one that you could shag. Jesus, come on. Yeah.
So Funny Girl transfers to the West End. On opening night, she goes back into her changing room. She's like, that went really well. I'm really happy. And then her friend says, by the way, there's something we need to tell you. You're pregnant. So apparently she had missed her period, had taken a pregnancy test in the run-up to it opening on the West End, had just forgotten about it.
Oh,
and then Elliot was like, don't tell her. So apparently they told Elliot, but they didn't tell her. And he said, don't tell her. She's so stressed.
Oh, once again, Elliot coming through as an absolute champion.
He is, isn't he?
I just haven't heard a single thing he's done wrong, I'll be honest.
I know. He's forgiven her having an affair.
He's just done everything. But he's not a walkover. He's understanding. He gets her career, but he's still ambitious himself.
Yeah.
He's laid back. He's fun. Come on.
Yeah.
He's tall. Did we mention
he's
tall?
He's tall. And he's got great hair.
Got great hair. These things matter.
So in 1966, she gives birth to the beautiful Jason Gould.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And can I just say, You know what? He's got a beautiful singing voice. I listen to some of the stuff, but he can sing.
But he is a gorgeous singer, and yet he hasn't followed that as a career path. Mm. He just occasionally does a bit of singing. Everyone goes, yeah. Ooh.
Which I think is a testament to Barbara and Elliot. The fact that he's not, like, we don't really know about him.
No, that's it. Yeah. A happy boy.
So she gives birth to Jason, and then basically the minute she gets off maternity leave, she's on the film set making Funny Girl,
of course,
the movie musical. Sure. She's in LA, Elliot's in New York working on a film, but already, according to Babs, they are drifting apart.
Who's watching Jason, by the way? Who's with Jason?
No, so Jason is with her, and she's like, he's with her on the set all the time.
Gotcha.
They're very close. Okay. They're very close. She's a good mother. I'm like, she's a good mother.
It's all right. Leave her alone. Calm down. It's okay.
But you know as well, she looks so unbelievably good in Funny Girl. And you never know, like, every time they say, and cut, she's like, hey, I've got this baby to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She looks so gorgeous in Funny Girl.
Well, you know who thought she looked gorgeous? Her new Nikki Armstein. Omar Sharif, because there's a new Nikki Arnstein in town. And guess what? He also, almost immediately, develops a crush on our Barbara. So he's writing her romantic letters. He's just like crazy about her. Oh. Barbara says she found it really difficult because, so Fanny Bryce, remember, is about this really talented singer who's got this husband she loves, but he's got a gambling problem and is kind of in the shadow of her amazing career. Meanwhile, poor little Elliot, he's struggling with a gambling problem.
Oh, is he?
So she said, he's Armsteining. He's Armsteining. She's basically got three Nikki Armsteins. Sydney Chaplin, Omar Sharif, and Elliot Gould.
It's illegal for Barbara Streisand to not bang whoever Nikki Armstein is.
So she's on the set. She has a moment with Omar. Mm. And then when the filming is over, he carries on writing her romantic love letters, saying he wants to be with her forever. Barbara thinks he's...
Sorry. You said she has a moment. Do you mean she once again cheated? was she unfaithful a second time? Is that what you're telling me, Grania? Just to make that clear, you kind of brushed past that. Oh, she had a moment. She was once again unfaithful to her doting husband, Elliot Gould, who's now also struggling with a gambling addiction. And this is how she rewards it. Okay, go on. I'll tell you who's not winning the breakup for me. I'm just putting it out there.
He writes her all these letters. I think between the line, Barbara finds him a bit cringe because he says he's listening to her albums and hugging his pillow and pretending it's her.
Oh, my God, no, mate.
Nope.
You're Omar Sharif as well.
Oh, that is... I will never find him handsome ever again. She just ruined him for me.
Oh.
Hugging a pillow. Oh,
he may as well be Cliff Thorburn, the snooker player that once I heard said I looked like Omar Sharif when I played snooker. And I went, shut up, mate. Now I'm like, mate, I'd take you. Anyway.
So just to bear in mind how busy Barbara is around this time. So she makes Funny Girl, Hello Dolly, and On a Clear Day You Can See Forever, basically back to back. She's also filming TV specials, recording albums, and she's got little Jason.
Of course.
So she is busy. And I just think this is such a nice touch because in 1968, there's a profile on Barbara where they mention Elliot Gould. They describe him as 29, a thoughtful, vulnerable gentleman. He peered at me and asked gently, hey, are you going to write nice things about my wife?
Oh. Oh, God.
She may be busy, but she still finds time to break his heart time and time again.
Yeah.
This sweet little angel who's done nothing wrong.
Oh, and he's mad about her, like every man, apparently.
Yeah, exactly. I do, like, this is all from her book, by the way. And they just keep falling in love with me.
Yeah. And then, unfortunately, he fell in love with me.
And the timing, I say the date specifically because that was in 1968. He said that in 1969, just a few months before the Oscar ceremony where she's going to win Best Actress, tying with Katharine Hepburn, Barbara and Elliot announced their separation.
Oh.
But She takes Elliot as her date to the award ceremony.
Okay.
Oh, good for her. Oh, well done, Barbara. That doesn't make up for it.
It's, it's difficult, isn't it? Like, she was together with him from 19. They have a kid together. They are married. Mm,
yeah.
They probably had, like, found a way to rattle along together, but she's also going, I'm literally in my mid-20s. What am I going to do? Never have sex with anyone.
And at the start of this huge career as well.
Yeah.
Like, it's all just a bit much.
So she takes him to the Oscars. Oh, right.
So this is what... So really, I'll give you a quick montage. So she has a brief flirtation with Joan Collins' ex-husband, Anthony Newley.
Oh.
Then she has a romance with Pierre Trudeau, Justin's dad.
That's so funny. Yeah.
Then she joins Elliot on the set of on a film he's making with Ingmar Bergman.
Mm-hmm.
They're sleeping in the same bed. That's all she says in her memoir. I don't know if that's a euphemism, but they're sleeping in the same bed.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Barbara panics, thinking Elliot wants to get back with her. He invites her for dinner. She has a huge asthma attack and takes it as a sign that this is a bad road to go back down.
Oh.
So she gets on a flight back home the next morning and files for divorce. It's officially over.
That's it. Okay. Also, Barbara seems to often think that men want to get with her. Elliot may have just been like trying to be a nice person. Who knows what really happened there? And then she had an asthma attack and he was like, okay, bye, I guess.
So you, as heartbroken as we all were, are by the split, do you know who else was very heartbroken?
Who?
Do you want to guess?
Omar
Elvis.
Sharif.
No,
Elvis Presley.
Elvis Presley.
Elvis Presley. Oh.
Let me guess. He was in love with Barbara too.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, Elliot said he met Elvis Presley and all Elvis wanted to talk to Elliot about was why him and Barbara split up. He said to me, why did you and Barbara break up? You're two of my favourite people.
Oh.
And Elliot said, he replied, shut up, Elvis.
Yeah, well done, Elliot. That's right. Because she cheated relentlessly.
It was a beautiful and tumultuous thing. Well, because she wanted Elvis to play the Kris Kristofferson role in A Star Is Born. And Elvis was bang up for it. But his manager, that Colonel Tom Parker guy, was basically like, only if Elvis gets paid like an insane amount of money and he has top billing. And Barbara Streisand was like, no, I'd be doing him a favour. Are you out of your mind? And Colonel Tom Parker, without Elvis's say-so, said, no, then he's not doing it. And Elvis really wanted to be
of course
in his
bed.
And imagine, his life might have been completely different if he'd...
It's totally true.
He might still be with us. He was only the age of Anne Frank.
Exactly.
Anne Frank and Elvis Presley were born
same
in
age.
The same year.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I feel like Tom Parker was involved in both their demises. I don't
I agree. I don't like him.
Suze. They loved each other. He adored her. He's willing to like put her career first. They had beautiful Jason. She they see, even now they have such affection for each other.
Yeah,
what
they do
you think
get
went
on,
wrong?
Don't they?
Why couldn't they why do you think they couldn't make it work?
Do you know what? I bet if they'd met when, you know, she was 30 and he was 34, they'd probably still be together now. It's that do you know what? And having heard that whole story now, I can imagine it's like they, because she's over 80 now and he's 4 years older, obviously. I can imagine them getting back together on his like 90th birthday or something. You're like, have you heard who's back together? I know
what
she's
about
married,
Jim?
But...
What about Jim Brolin?
Well, she seems okay with cheating, so why not now?
Absolutely.
You know what I think?
Cheat with Elliot.
Elliot should say, another reprise of Funny Girl, but finally I pay Nikki Arnstein.
Oh. Finally.
It's called Funny Old Girl.
And he could really go method because of all the, he has all the experience of the gambling addiction as well. So
absolutely. Yeah. This is good. I can't wait for them to get back together. Sorry, James Brolin.
Okay. So obviously Babs is an icon who we love. Elliot. I mean, come on. The picture with him and is it Elmo on the cover of TV Guide, one of the sexiest photo shoots ever done. But still, we can only have one champion in every breakup.
Yep.
So in the great split between Barbara Streisand and Elliot Gould, who thrived and who simply survived?
Oh my God. She's Barbara and he's just Elliot. And I'm sorry, but like, we all love him and we think he's the ultimate good boyfriend. But she's Barbara Streisand. Come on.
Yeah.
I can't help it. I was, do you know what? Because I know this podcast and I was thinking, I wonder how I'll feel at the end of it. And I got to the end of it. I went, even more so, I think it's Barbara.
I think career-wise, it's undoubtable. There's no point even asking the question. But I think as people, I have lost a bit of love for Barbara hearing about this. And my opinion of Elliot has raised quite a lot. So I'm sticking with Team Elliot Gould. Long may he reign. I love Elliot Gould. And Barbara was a bit of a bad girlfriend and bad wife.
She
repeatedly.
Was, wasn't she? Yeah.
And I shall not just be easily... They were young, I get it. But he was so, so, so lovely that... He's won my heart, I will say that. He's certainly won my heart, and hopefully the listeners as well. I would ask Grainne, but we know the answer. She could have been the one that killed Anne Frank, and Grainne would still say Barbara Streisand wins.
You did what Barbara Streisand did. It's really bad.
I'll leave us on I think, a quote from Elliot. We didn't grow together, and the reason for that was because she became more important than us. But also... I said to her, we did great. We made it very fast and nobody has what we have. There's you and me and our kid.
Oh, even at he's just always perfect.
He says the right thing every time, doesn't he?
I had no idea what an absolute angel he was. We've really just found him. I found the one.
Yeah. And really quick, sorry, this is such a long episode, but just a quick postscript. Just in Barbara's defense. So he basically got a bit into drugs in the 70s and basically got fired from a film he was supposed to be making. Mm-hmm. And she had to step in. She stepped in and took over the contract so he wouldn't get sued for like tens of thousands of dollars.
Okay.
And that's why she made What's Up Pussycat. So that was a contract for Elliot.
Oh.
But then she stepped in and they turned it into a whole different thing. But she did, they did have each other's back.
Gotcha.
Well, that's true. I mean, I suppose if you're raising the kid with someone who you get along with and who you wronged, then yeah, it makes sense they'd help each other out.
She saw he was struggling and
helped him.
Yeah, see, she's not this cold fish that she's often portrayed as.
Yeah, I've never gotten that. I will say, I've never gotten the impression that Barbara's a cold, difficult person. I'm with you, Suze. I don't buy it.
Thank you. And there's that amazing, that she sort of did a version of Sondheim's Putting It Together. And there's a bit on it where like these voices keep going, oh, Barbara, shouldn't you be doing this? Which should be really corny, but it works well because it's Barbara. And someone says, do we really need all these takes? And she just goes, yes, we do. And it's just all these different men telling her like, oh, and there's that line in, because she rewrote Sondheim's And I'm Here with his blessing. And she says, writing, directing, producing, what makes her think that she can? Writing, directing, producing, what does she think? She's a man. And I was like, yeah, do you know what? Barbara just has to be like steely in her career so that people won't just push her down.
But she always seemed very warm to me. I always got a lot of warmth from her.
I mean,
so
she's
all
right.
With you. I don't buy the coldness. That's why all these men keep falling in love with her.
Exactly. And Lady Gaga said she was so lovely when they met. And Barbara just kept telling Lady Gaga, you're amazing. So there you go.
Of course she did.
Well, speaking of icons, supporting icons.
Indeed. Our final question for you, Suze, is another amazing icon in who is also still out there, also deserves the love, but much like Barbara, although it hasn't had as much of a checkered past in terms of cheating, as far as I know, but whatever, I'm over it. But can you help us, as we ask all our guests, find someone up to the level of her, as we don't think she has met her match romantically. Mm-hmm. We're not saying that she needs someone, simply that she deserves to be loved and worshipped. So you, Suze, please put your thinking cap on and tell us who you think could be with the one, the only, Cher.
Okay, so I'm going to go a bit out of left field here.
Okay.
But you know who's very recently single? Kathy Griffin.
Okay.
Her and Cher are best pals. And what I think they should do is just move in together and do a podcast. I don't care if they get together or not. I just want that to happen. And I think it would make them both so happy.
And they could also release a hair care line for curly hair.
Absolutely.
It'd be great. Barbara could be involved in that as well, actually. Yeah. All three of them.
I think the three of them would be great on this.
Three
podcast.
Of them would be great, yeah.
Because Kathy would stand up. I love. She'd stand up to Cher. She'd be like, "Cher, you look ridiculous."
Oh yeah, exactly.
Did you ever hear about that? Because Kathy Griffin's talked about it. She said Cher invited me round to watch Dancing with the Stars when, is it Chase Bono? Cher and Sonny Bono's son?
Well, Chase, yeah, Chase. No,
Chase
yeah.
Bono was on Dancing with the Stars. And so Cher was like, come over and watch it. I've given all my staff the night off. She went round there and Cher didn't know how to order a pizza. So she, and Kathy Griffin
Chaz always does it for me, Kathy.
I don't know. And Kathy Griffin said she called her assistant, because Kathy Griffin was like, I'm just going to watch this happen. She called her assistant and went, how do I make pizza happen?
That'd be great. And they would be a great couple.
I want to see this podcast. I want to see and hear it.
As Grania and I always say, would it make a Vegas show? Yes, it bloody well would. You have Kathy opening the show with a good solid 30 minutes of stand-up, Cher closing with show tunes.
Exactly.
Perfect. The gays and the girls will love it. Good choice.
Okay. Good choice. Suze, thank you so much for being such an amazing guest and also justifying buying Barbara's memoir in audio and print form.
Thanks to this episode, Grania can now completely write that off with a tax man. So you really sorted her out.
Yeah, and it's a beefy volume. Yeah,
exactly.
And I love for some reason the pictures of her with celebrities at the back, this picture of her with Jerry Adams.
Who's Jerry Adams? I don't know who that is.
It's the Sinn Féin leader with close ties to...
Oh, right. Okay.
That's very funny. I haven't looked through the pictures. That's so funny because it's like, here he is with Barbara Streisand. P.S. For about 10 years, the BBC would play his voice and used an accent.
Blinking heck. What a life. Well done, funny. Barbs.
Thanks, Suze. Where can our listeners find you?
Oh, yes. If you just look up Suze Kempner, S-O-O-Z, and Kempner, which is spelled the way it sounds, but it's K-E-M-P-N-E-R, and it does baffle people. I'm on all of them. I'm on the artist formerly known as Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok. I hate TikTok. I'm all even on Threads and Blue Sky. They're terrible.
Oh, you're the one on Threads.
Yeah, I'm the one person on Threads. It's just me, like, threading. But yeah, just look up that name and you'll find old Suze.
Oh, well done.
Follow Suze. Honestly, if you still are on any of those platforms, it is the only reason to be on any of them. You will not regret it.
Thank you so much for being here, Suze.
Thank you.
And thank you for giving Grania the joy of talking about Barbara for an hour.
Thank you for having me.
Bye.
The Way They Were is an Amanda Redman production, produced by Abby Weaver and Amanda Redman.
We want to hear your celebrity couple crush, so email us on thewaytheywerepod@gmail.com.
Or find us on Twitter at thewaytheywerepod and we're on Instagram at thewaytheywerepodcast.
Thanks to you for listening.
Until the next time,
goodbye.
Goodbye.
The Way They Were.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.